Our LCS is Cowabunga Comics out of Oconomowoc, Wisconsin, and their mail order company, Deep Discount Comics. And we went there, and we were actually invoice number 00001. We were the very first their very first customer, which was kind of cool. They've been nothing short of fantastic. Customer service wise, discounts, they were very close, if not the same or better than DCBS on a lot of things. Over and above, customer service wise, always taking care of us, going the extra mile, so responsive, getting instantaneous responses back to questions about things, to the point where knowing the stuff you like and anticipating your needs and having it suggested to that you might want to add this to your order already before you even have to think about it. That's kind of cool. Really quality experience. So we love working with Cowabunga and Deep Discount, and that's why they're in our show notes every single episode and have been for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of episodes that we leave them there because we like them. They're cool, good people. That's why they're in there. By God, they'd tell you to, if you've got a local comic book shop that you love, stay with them because everybody needs to support their local comic shops. But if you're looking, check them out. You can check them out in the show notes. There's plenty of ways to get a hold of them. Either get on their list, just so you can check and see what kind of FOC and pre-order stuff they have and the discounts, and they'll send it to you each month, get you on that email list. And you can check out their shop because they have a great shop of exclusive Cowabunga variants. Amazing stuff. Yes, they've always been there for us, and we take them for granted. So there you go. Now you know.
Thank you for listening to Comics for Fun and Profit. This is Kyle and Drew with your sneak peek at next week, episode number 900, Drew. For Comics Risley coming out, let's see. We are on April the 16th and April the 17th. But before Drew and I get to what's coming up in your local comic book shops this coming Tuesday and Wednesday, Drew, we're back at it for the big old 900. We had a couple weeks of all kinds of crazy stuff going on. We saw the sun go away. We saw the sun come back. We lost some of our favorite people in the comics industry. We had a show that we love drop. All kinds of crazy stuff happening. And that's not even talking about floppy comic books. Where do you want to start?
Let's start with the depressing stuff first, I guess.
Okay.
Congratulations to us for 900 episodes, right? That's pretty...
Let's start with the self-aggrandizing, please.
Let's pat ourselves on the back.
Aloha! It's Jason from Hawaii. The Comics for Fun and Profit podcast is celebrating its 900th episode. That's right, 900 episodes. I just want to say to Kyle and Drew, congratulations on achieving this amazing milestone. Please continue to keep up the great work and please continue to share your love of comics with everybody. Again, thank you very much for doing these episodes every week. Until next time, guys, aloha.
We got to episode 900.
Yeah, I haven't stuck with a diet. I haven't stuck with a lot of things in my life, but we got 900 podcast episodes. Yeah. Wouldn't have told you that years ago.
So the road to 1,000 starts here.
Oh,
I guess.
Baby.
So pretty amazing. That's 2 years away, probably. So 2 years away, we might be able to get to to episode 1,000 and then hang them up and walk off into the sunset.
Yes, absolutely.
But then melancholy news, Ed Pisker took his own life.
Yeah.
After basically a week of online harassment over some allegations of underage pedantry. That's probably not the right word. Which he denied in his suicide note, which I read.
I also read.
Tore me apart.
Yeah, it was rough.
Basically my roller coaster of the last couple of weeks has been, damn it, Ed, please don't be true.
Mm-hmm.
To, damn it, internet, leave him alone. To, damn it, Ed, don't
please
give
don't be
up.
True. Yeah.
And at one point, I thought it was an April Fool's Day prank that was just an awful bad taste. And then it wasn't. And then I've just been watching Ed Pisker documentaries and Comic Kayfabe nonstop for the last 2 weeks and just thinking they were just getting started. They were just getting started. He's got, you know, he doesn't have a huge body of work. Some of the stuff he's done has been amazing. Hip Hop Family Tree being one of my favorites. And, you know, the
X-Men comics, book.
The X-Men book was good. The comics kayfabe YouTube channel has been such a delight with him and Jim Rugg talking comics. They have such an encyclopedic knowledge of the history of comics and the love of comics. You just saw it every day. Comics were their life. They were obsessed with them and they loved all things comics and the craft of comics and
broke things down from the base up. Yeah.
There's no way Jim Rugg can continue this. He can't. I don't think there's any way emotionally he can keep this thing going. So it's going to go away. We're going to lose it. We've got 1,600 episodes, of which I've only seen a couple hundred. But they're tough to watch now.
Yeah.
And selfishly, there was more work I wanted to see of his, and it's just such a bummer that, you know, I've had a few suicides in my life in recent years, and I don't get it because, my life's been shitty at points. I've been down, but I've never even contemplated that.
Yeah.
I don't get it. I do get that the world sucks and life can be hard. But God damn it, people, don't end it. Do not delete yourself from the equation. It
gets better.
Yeah, it'll get better. And it's just that's just been like I didn't know Ed. Saw him at a con, you know. Maybe interacted with him online on Twitter or Instagram, liked his stuff, shouted out his books, maybe got a thumbs up. That was so we weren't friends. But I did have a relationship with him through his show, through his work. I just feel this hole. I feel this hole in my fandom, my comics appreciation, and this lack of who is that positive about comics and the comics craft that's going to pick up this mantle, you know, and let alone the fact that he's gone and the hole he's left with for his family. And it's just really a bummer. And I tried to do like a special episode. I was going to do a very special episode tribute, and I just, I can't form cohesive sentences about it. It just gets upsetting, and it's just such a bummer. And thinking back to when Kurt Cobain died, and I remember that hitting me kind of hard because I was a huge Nirvana fan, but nothing like this. Like, this was. Like, I really felt like I lost somebody I really knew, and it's really weird. And I didn't think it would affect me as much as it has, but you know, I loved his work, and I wish he wasn't gone.
Yeah, I mean, and his love for comics, and we put 900 episodes into this, so we try to put good out into the world, and our love for comics as well. So see a lot of compatriots in that we were both trying to do things to just, shine a light on the joy that we enjoy. And it just sucks that that gets snuffed out way earlier than we had to, because, if anybody deserved 900 episodes more than us, it's.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. RIP Ed. We'll miss you.
We hardly knew ye.
We hardly knew ya. 41, too soon.
Yeah.
Hey, did you watch Fallout yet?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so I'm on episode 4. I've been barreling through. They gave us it an extra day early. It was very nice of them. Been waiting with bated breath over this big Fallout battle. You and I, big post-apocalyptic people. Uh-huh. And in my second, the other podcast I do with Dork Day Afternoon, we've been playing some Twilight 2000, so kind of a post-World War III nuclear world. So it was so cool to see Fallout while they're in a post-nuclear world and stuff like that. It's just, I don't know, it really, I loved a lot about it. So many Easter eggs, so many little things in it, so many things they got right, so many different of the same storyline, or of different storylines all congruing in the same thing. Flashbacks to, you know, the one guy in there is the dude from Lost, so I had a flashbacks to him in Lost and how much I enjoyed that in it. And,
so it's well done.
It's super well done. It's very well done. And,
I've only played Fallout 4.
Yeah, you'll be fine. I mean, it's, you know who the Brotherhood of the Steel is, you know who the Institute is, you know the world, you know Vault-Tec and all that stuff is in its perfect glory there. You know, I don't know if you know Dog Meat from 4, but like that kind of stuff. It's all
is really Malcolm cool. McDowell involved?
Which one? Who is he?
He was the president.
Oh, yeah.
Because he was not in any of the trailers. And I was like, how could they leave him out? Can you tell me, is it a spoiler?
No, he's not really in at the moment. Or at least what I've done so far. Okay. Is not a ton.
Okay.
Not a giant main character, but.
But go ahead and check it out, huh?
Yeah, very, very, very much.
It's no Why the Last Man debacle.
So far, it's so much better. But yeah, between Michael Emerson being in it from Lost, and of course Walter Goggins, one of my favorite actors in a long time. I love everything he's in.
We dug coal together.
Yeah, it's very well done, and I'm really, really enjoying it. And I could have just blew through it, but I'm legitimately savoring it. I after 2 episodes, I thought I'm not gonna watch this to the wee hours of the night. I'm gonna stop, put a pin in it, and do another one, then do another one, and enjoy them and give them my full attention instead of, you know, how I quite often passively watch things.
Yeah, I was thinking, is this a show that I should try to wrote my wife into watching, and I was like,
yes.
She never played the game. I don't know if she'd like it.
Doesn't matter.
It's good
stuff. Yeah. Okay. You know, and again, when it's finished, I'll be comparing it to things like Walking Dead and The Last of Us for both its post-apocalyptic genre and the way it's based on things I love. So
yeah, being based on properties, that's very, very, mm-hmm. very cool. All right, what else? Anything else going on media-wise?
So, yeah, we had the Paramount Plus kind of their big thing that they had, their upfronts, if you will. And, they released a couple things that I thought were pretty cool. You won't care as much, but, of course, the continuation of Avatar: The Last Airbender, G.I. Joe crossovers on things.
Is the R-rated Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and then right?
The adaptation of the R-rated Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles following The Last Ronin. So, okay.
Is that going to be for violence?
It is a R-rated, ultra-violent take on Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is how it's being talked about with them.
Very cool.
I am all for all of those words and all of those things.
Yeah. You like everything about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so Paramount has done a lot of really cool stuff. And I'm here for a lot of that. So
R-rated TMNT. I didn't think I'd see the day.
Yeah, and I really liked Last Ronin. I think it's a great story. So seeing them...
I still haven't read
into
it.
That and stuff.
I still haven't read it. I need to probably pick that up at some point.
Well, I've got several copies that I'll sell you for a pretty.
I'll get like the eighth printing.
No need for that. No need for that. But yeah, that was another thing that piqued my interest quite a bit on that. So always love when one of your favorite comics is adapted, but super scary because, of course, you referenced Why the Last Man and
the
absolute cinematic car wreck that was.
Yeah, exactly. All right, well, let's see if what you just said had any influence in our Hot 10.
Yeah, let's head on over to good friends at comicbookinvest.com. Look on their top 10 for April the 12th. And start with the number one book, and sure enough, it's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, The Last Ronin, at number one. Announcement of an R-rated feature has created a stir in the market, as The Last Ronin series has been a spec darling since its initial release. Recall that there are numerous variants of this book, including multiple printings, incentives, exclusives, director's cuts, and all that. And we are focusing on the first print cover A at the moment, though. While prices have been pretty high for some time, I still see the price trending above $100 for alls across the board. Recall that this is an oversized prestige format square bound book, so high grades are easy to maintain, as evidenced by a multitude of CGC 9.8 sales ranging from $240 to $300, including a CGC 9.9. A 9.9 even sold at a best offer for $475. While there are multiple still available in the current market. Boy, I want to send mine in. So good. So awesome. At rank two, Usagi Yojimbo, The Crow, number one, 1 in 40. Only two sales this week, but there are none out there. And that last sale was a monster of an auction. It seems suspect given the jump in price, but considering how some folks are willing to shell out major bucks for some of these variants these days, we are not totally surprised. It will have a hard time maintaining that price, but then again, who knows when another will even come up for sale again.
What price?
And they never did say the damn price in this article. So they talked it up and how hard it is to believe the price, but they never tell us the price. So just FYI, big sale. Yeah,
very helpful.
And rank three, DN Agents, number 24. Dave Stevens remains a force on the aftermarket as collectors seem to be getting priced out of some books and then moving on to the next classic cover. Raws have climbed from $30 a couple weeks ago to cracking three digits this week. High sales of $120. Yes, a copy sold for $37 raw this week, but that was for a low-grade copy with significant cover damage. That demonstrates the ride these Dave Stevens books have been on as of late.
Huh.
And at rank four, The World of Wood. Wally Wood writing, Dave Stevens on the cover, not another Stevens book blazing up the market. This is another book that has had quite a ride this week, setting new benchmarks with every few sales. Starting around $40, prices then climbed to $75 before plateauing at $90 with a sale, a couple of sales. Is this another $100 plus Stevens cover? And will these prices hold as an overdue price correction, or will this fall back down to where they were before the Dave Stevens train left the station? Only time will tell. At rank five, Thrawn Alliance is number four, the 1 in 25 cover. Another month, another Thrawn incentive variant. We should be used to this routine by now, but unlike the last one in 25, I would personally say that the art on this one is pretty solid by E.M. Gist.
Yeah, better.
Whatever the case, this has been selling this week for a steady $50 to $60 and even hit a high of $88. Triple ratio, we love that. Yeah. We'll see how the prices hold on this one, as the other 1 in 25s for the series have had inconsistent results, with the bulk of them lingering in the $35 range as of today. But we have seen some dips as well as spikes, even after weeks/months on the market. The Incredible Hulk number 11, 1 in 25. Arthur Adams cover. Art Adams, 1 in 25, strikes again, but once again, it is off-brand and is not a sexy girl cover. In fact, it is a classic monster look for the Hulk. Already sold over a dozen copies since its release in the $35 to $50 price, and that matches early pre-sales. Or is this another run for our Adams, who has a Mystique cover on the way in the next few weeks that is already creating a stir?
It's a great cover.
It is a very good cover. Yeah. At rank 7, supervillain team up number 5, hanging on to the list another week. Volumes remain strong with the average price rising. With 2 sales over $90, I would question if it's an anomaly in most cases, but people will pay a premium for high grades. And given the upside for high grade CGC copies in the 9.6, 9.8, we can see why folks may not be scared to throw down big bucks for a near mint copy. What if number 37, more Shalabal spec, is in this issue? Marvel tells a tale of what if Galactus took the power cosmic from Norrin Rad. In this story, Galactus goes back to Norrin's homeworld, Zen-La, and makes Shalabal his herald, Starglow. So it's not her as a surfer per se, but this is her as a herald of Galactus, and does predate Earth X. So many have turned their attention to this cheap book. Most sales are very cheap, landing under $10, but there are outliers from high grade copies hitting $35 at CGC 9.8, even sold this week for $210. And at rank 9, we have Evangeline 9. Option last week. That news ignited interest in the 90s Chromium Cheesecake cover. We love those, Drew. Volumes are strong as many sales are only $10 to $15, but there are outliers nearly $30 raw, even a bunch of signed copies selling for over $35. Being that it's a 90s Image number one, there are a plethora of covers out there, probably still buried in those dollar bins. So get to digging.
Yeah, I think I've seen this one around.
Yeah, Star Wars Dawn of the Jedi Force Storm number one. This is a Dark Horse book. New writer attached to the James Mangold feature that will supposedly feature the origins of the Jedi Order. This news has renewed interest in these legacy stories that feature the Dawn of the Jedi. About a dozen sold and prices are ticking up slightly, with Rawls averaging between 60 and 70. Second prints are a bit more at even 65 to 88, and a newsstand CGC 9.6 even sold for a whopping $360 this week. And we've got some notable sales of big books here. Phantom Lady number 17 with a Matt Baker cover. All-time high sales on a classic Baker cover as a CGC 3.5 sold this week for $28,800. That's quite a jump up from where a 3.5 was back in 2021 when it last sold for $11,400. It nearly tripled in just 3 years. Pretty impressive where these classics are going these days.
Man, I wish I would have had an appreciation for Matt Baker back in the day and collected them, because they're all gorgeous. That was going to be
your niche. Yeah.
They're just gorgeous. They're all great covers. The colors are just amazing. And I have no clue. No clue who he was.
Yeah. And Punch number 12, on the flip side of the coin, a book doesn't have to reach all-time highs to be what we consider a notable sale. Just as notables are significant drops in value, case in point, popular pre-code horror classic, which last sold for a whopping $90,000 back in 2022. And then only 16 months later, the same CGC 5.5 grade only sells for $60,000. A 30K hit after just over a year is also a notable sale. So keep that in mind in case you are a big baller collector who has all the money to play in this yard. It's not always peaches. It's not always rainbows.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah.
But I think I remember when this was on the list.
Mm-hmm.
When this, back in 22. I think I remember this being celebrated.
Yeah, that's I mean, I'm still celebrating a $60,000 sale, but I see what they're saying.
Yeah, not if I paid 90. I think.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. All right, Drew. Let's head on over to see our Marvel previews. April for June 2024. The Ultimates hanging out on the cover. Scrooge McDuck by Jason Aaron, a thing. We've got Dazzler Mini, but we are going to start with Deadpool and Wolverine World War III, Issue 2. So we're not even starting with a new book. We are starting with the second issue of the Joe Kelly, Adam Kubert.
Probably makes sense,
Deadpool,
right?
Wolverine, World War III. Looks like a good one. It's going to be a good book. Can't wait. We are resoliciting with a facsimile, Deadpool Kills the Marvel Universe number 1. For $5, Cullen Bunn writing this. Kari Andrews on the cover. More Deadpool. Of course, we're, you know, with this coming out in, what was it, June, I believe. That's right. Also pretty close to when the Deadpool movie is coming out. So, of course, they're just leaning into it.
Yeah, better stock up, folks.
Yep, Deadpool issue 3, Deadpool versus Crossbones. Ah, here's what you came for, Drew. Let's get into the Blood Hunt. Blood Hunt 3 of 5.
Yep, I'm so excited.
Blood Hunt 4 of 5.
And the red band editions.
Yes, with extra blood.
With extra blood, yeah.
Dracula Blood Hunt 2, Midnight Suns Blood Hunt 2, Black Panther Blood Hunt 2, Strange Academy Blood Hunt 2 of 3, Union Jack the Ripper 2 of 3, Kevin Scott writing that. Blood Hunters, 2 of 4. That's a Kari Andrews and Nascente Eric Schultz written book. All kinds of people on that one. Wolverine Blood Hunt, number 1. So we're launching. We've got some of them dwindling down on 2 of 3, but Blood Hunt ain't going nowhere because we are starting issue 1 of a 4-issue series. Logan Fights Back the Darkness.
Yeah, there's tons of these. My God.
Yeah, well, Wolverine Blood Hunt 2 of 4, so it looks like it's double shipped, so it will probably end at the same time as the 2 of 3s. It's just going to double ship the next few. X-Men Blood Hunt Jubilee. Someone I would not think would be involved in a Blood Hunt. Jubilation Lee. X-Men Blood Hunt Magic, number 1. Rod Rice cover. Oh, I see there's a Peach Momoko cover there as well. And a few others. Magic does some good covers. Amazing Spider-Man Blood Hunt 2 of 3. Oh, a variant by Bjorn Behrens on that. So that's going to be exciting to see what that is. Blood Hunt tie-in, Venom 34. Miles Morales, Spider-Man 21, having a Blood Hunt tie-in. And a Scotty Young cover. So we'll see how much blood that Scotty Young cover gets. Avengers 15. Also, Blood Hunt. Boy, if you're not doing Blood Hunt, they, you ain't getting nothing.
Even my beloved Fantastic Four is doing a Blood Hunt tie-in. Yeah. I cannot believe that.
Yeah.
Nobody is safe.
No. I think they're saying you're in regardless of whether you want to or not.
Moon Knight got a Blood Hunt. Wait a minute. There's an X-Men 35 that doesn't look to be a Blood Hunt. It's there Legacy 700, so it'll be how much? Let's say
$10
for $10 pages. Wow, that's a new one.
Yeah.
No, Spidey always did $10 big numbers, didn't they? Yeah.
And then we have a Steve Orlando written, Jacopo Camigni, Scarlet Witch number 1, and they are doing a interesting Alexander Lozano variant there. Jenny Frison gets a variant cover also on Scarlet Witch number 1. Scotty Young, of course, gets his things, and Tran Len gets some cover. So that's,
I didn't even realize this had ended and it's relaunching already. Same creative team. Well, at least the same
from
writer.
The beginning. Yeah. And taking a complete left turn from Blood Hunt, Uncle Scrooge and the Infinity Dime number 1. And okay, so we got Uncle Scrooge and we have Alex Ross covers. We have Frank Miller covers, John Romita Jr. covers, Peach Momoko covers, Scotty Young covers, J. Scott Campbell covers, Gabrielle Del Otto covers, Joe Quesada covers, Walt Simonson covers, Steve McNiven covers.
Wow.
For Uncle Scrooge, written by Jason Aaron.
Well, you know
so
what?
Infinity Dime, is that like the Infinity Stone?
I don't know, but, you know, why don't you use this mark, this IP that you own?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Why aren't they doing more of these comics?
Yeah.
They should do a whole line.
Mm-hmm. The Ultimates number one, Denise Kemp.
Who's writing it? Dennis Kemp. Yeah.
Sorry, is that how you say Dennis now?
I guess
I completely jacked
that. Or Denise.
Yeah, that's what I was, I don't know. As a person whose middle name is Dennis, I kind of took a left.
Never seen that one before, yeah.
Ultimate Black Panther 5 continuing on. Ultimate Spider-Man 6 continuing on. Ultimate X-Men 4. Thanos Annual number 1. Welcome to Infinity Watch. Venomverse Reborn number 1. The Darkest Web is respun. Dive back into the darkness of the Venomverse with stories of symbiotes from all over the multiverse. So, is this the next
Spider-Gwen? Edge of Spider-Verse type deal?
Yeah. So, what if we get a Venom-Gwen?
There you go, man. You
better get Venom NJ.
You better get in on the ground floor. We already have those,
but like a legit one.
Yeah.
And if we look at the cover of the second, we've got, you know, Venom Double Dinosaur, and of course, the Venom... A lot of the Venoms we already have, but I'm sure there's a new one they're not showing us here that might be a big deal. X-Men Heir to the Apocalypse. Heir of Apocalypse 1 of 4. And 2 of 4, that's double shipped as well. X-Men 97, 4.
How's that, just a how's four that show?
Haven't jumped back in.
Well, so you've again. Watched, what, 2?
Yeah, and then went straight to Fallout. Wolverine, Madripoor Knights, also ending on 5 of 5. Miss Marvel, Mutant Menace 4, ending 4 of 4. Invincible Iron Man 19, War Machine versus Iron Man. It's always a fun one. Helverine 2 of 4. Get Fury 2 of 6. Deadpool role-plays the Marvel Universe for $10. The first comic-sized one-shot adventure for the Marvel Universe role-playing game is here. Play as Deadpool and his team or use your own characters in a fourth-wall-breaking adventure right out of Marvel Comics. Includes a comic story lead-in by Cullen Bunn, an RPG adventure, and new character profiles. Interesting. Okay. Facsimile for ASM 257. Facsimile for Secret Wars 6. We are legitimately redoing all Secret Wars. Sorry, don't know why I leaned into the mic for that one. Godzilla number 1, getting a facsimile. Godzilla, King of Monsters. That is the old 1977 version of Godzilla. Getting its own facsimile. Spider-Man 51, The Sinister Six is back, Drew. The Sinister Six is back.
So we do one for Blood Hunt and then one non-Blood Hunt. Okay. Yeah.
I don't know if we're transitioning out or we're just going to... I don't know what we're going to do. Whoa. Amazing Spider-Man 52. Nothing is okay. Okay, that's not the final cover. But, like, we've got a... Very interesting. Is that just like obviously a Green Goblin cover?
I don't know.
Yes, this issue is so shocking and troubling we can't even show you the cover. But it looks like just another typical ASM 300 clone
homage
with Goblin, which we've seen before. So intriguing if this is gonna. Okie doke, or this is just what it is. Kid Venom 3 of 4. Jackpot and Black Cat is ending 4 of 4. Spider-Gwen, the Ghost Spider, number 3. Spider-Woman 8. Symbiote Spider-Man 2099, 4 of 5. The penultimate there. The Spectacular Spider-Men, issue 4, that Greg Wiseman, Umberto Ramos series. Superior Spider-Man 8. I don't know if that... It acts like it's ending, but it's not telling us it's ending. Spider-Boy 8.
And they were saying that Spider-Gwen was an ongoing now. Was it not an ongoing before?
It's hard to tell on that one. What If Venom 5 of 5. So this is your Moon Knight What If for Venom here.
They just need to stop pandering to me.
Mm-hmm. What if Venom has slithered his way through Marvel's history, encountering some of the most recognizable places and people, but none are as badass as the host of the symbiote will find in this epic series finale, Moon Knight? But which identity of Moon Knights will the symbiote connect with? And what will their union mean for New York City?
Gotcha.
Gotta read that. Giant-sized Daredevil, 50th anniversary. $7 for 48 pages doesn't seem giant-sized to me, but hey, they're not asking me. Incredible Hulk 13. Immortal Thor 12. Captain Marvel 9. Spider-Man Shadow of the Green Goblin 3 of 4. Oh, that's an interesting cover for Captain America 10. J. Michael Straczynski writing that one. Interesting guy. I like that. Black Widow and Hawkeye ending 404. Stephanie Phillips on that one. Sensational She-Hulk 9. Daredevil 10. Ghost Rider Final Vengeance 4. Torin Grongbeck's Carnage at issue 8. Aliens, What If, 4 of 5. This is the one that has Carter Burke in it. And Paul Reiser on each cover. Ooh, here we go, Drew. Star Wars Ahsoka number 1. After the fall of the Empire, Ahsoka Tano stalks the galaxy for Grand Admiral Thrawn.
I could have swore that we already got an Ahsoka mini, but I guess not. Yeah. Or is this a rip-off retelling of...
I don't know.
I hope not.
A valuable prisoner escapes New Republic custody. Search for answers reunites two old friends. The villainous Morgan Elsbeth returns along with two new mysterious Force users, Baylan Skull and his apprentice, yep. Shin Hati.
It's the show.
With the rebels, be able to track down their lost Conrad, Ezra Bridger. Yep, so it's just a reskin. I'm completely disappointed, and I hate this.
Yeah, I don't know why they do that. I don't know why they keep doing this. It doesn't make any sense.
So have we had an Ahsoka action figure by John Tyler Christopher yet?
I don't know about that.
Crap, I have to have that.
Maybe not.
Oh, man, that Akka cover is awesome, dude. Dang it! I hate it when I know the words inside are going to suck, but I love the covers. Star Wars The High Republic 8, Phase 3, Enter Baron Bulan. Star Wars Darth Maul, Black, White, and Red 3 of 4, The Crisis of Maul. Star Wars Darth Vader 47, Star Wars Jango Fett 4 of that 4-issue series. That one's ending. Star Wars 47... Lando Calrissian story. And then we get into our collected editions. Anything jump out you in the collected editions other than that beautiful Dazzler omnibus?
I just looked at the Dazzler art germ cover. I was like, that'll probably move pretty well. I was thinking that ROM was new, but that's the third volume, so it's been a while. Gang War.
Okay, I was going to say Gang War is being collected. We went through this a little quick, but like so much Blood Hunt.
So much Blood Hunt.
And you're either in or you're kind of out, so it wasn't something I thought we needed to. Available in July, Vengeance of Moon Knight Volume 1. So all those Vengeance of Moon Knight 4 issues for $16 there.
Yeah. So the Star Wars Modern Era collection,
mm-hmm.
Which is the Jason era.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's that Jason.
Run. That was a good run.
So it's Star Wars 1 through 14, and then their director's cutting 1, and then Vader down and Vader 13 through 15.
Yeah.
But it's all about Blood Hunt, and it's all about Wolverine.
Yeah, so I'm going to take a different tack this year. I mean, I'm not going to, or this event, not this year, because Gang War was just a couple of months ago. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to take a hard stance that I'm not going to read Blood Hunt, because it's everything.
I was going to say, if you're skipping it, you're skipping a lot of books.
But what I'm not going to do is chase any tie-ins this time. So I am going to read the series, and then the stuff that I already read that gets, so Fantastic Four and ASM, stuff like that, that's already on my pull. Mm-hmm. And I'll just read those Blood Hunts, and I'll just, you know, if I miss stuff, I miss stuff.
Marketing definitely not calendar. Chasing. We'll time. See if Drew sticks to that.
I will stick to this one, I think.
All right, Drew, you know what else we're going to stick with? We're going to stick with heading over to our good friends at Cover Price and looking for their items for the week of April 12th. Let's start with their number one book, and they're talking about Earth X number 12, the year 2000 book. It was just a few months ago on the December 4th top 10 when Hercules Twilight of a God number 1 made our list due to strong rumors of Marvel focusing on a female version of the Silver Surfer. Bad speculation sent pokes to that book and issue 4 featuring a variant Hercules daughter Juno talking about that moniker. The first appearance of Frankie Ray, possibly played by Anya Taylor-Joy, who was the most likely candidate at the time, and the first iteration of female Silver Surfer in The Nth Man, The Ultimate Ninja number 1, were also hot books. However, not many expected to the recent news that Julia Gardner would play Shalabal as the Silver Surfer in Marvel's The Fantastic Four. The news spurred instant debate. Shalabal's first appearance as the Silver Surfer is found on this cover, along with one full-page cameo, Drew. But what is her first full appearance, Drew? Well, we're glad you asked. She doesn't really have one. In Earth X 13, aka Earth X number X, she appears again in a cameo through four small panels with dialogue and is killed in one of them. Spoiler alert. The appearance in issue 12 is much more substantial, mostly thanks to her being on the cover, and therefore has captured the market's interest. You can see the comparison below as we go through the list. What do you think?
So she's barely a character.
Yeah. 85 copies sold, Drew.
Jesus.
Trending up 1,380%. And we hit a high sale of $70 for Near Mint Raw, settling down to about $56.
That's embarrassing. Mm-hmm. That's embarrassing that this is the character they're hanging their hat on? It's with a couple of panels?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. And we're going to talk again about Evangeline, number one, Maximum Press, 1995. Evangeline is a fallen angel turned badass who has recently been set to appear in a big screen adaptation. Olivia Wilde and Margot Robbie are taking on the challenge of translating this under-the-radar book to screen, and it's a hefty challenge. 192 copies sold, Drew, with a high sale of $29, settling to $24.
If I was to give Margot Robbie truth serum and say, do you know what Evangeline is? Have you ever read it? She would say no. No, she would not. Olivia Wilde, I'm not going to bet. She may know the source material. Maybe. Margot Robbie has no clue. No clue.
Margot Robbie, born in 1990. Evangeline, coming out in 1995. So, doubtful. X-Men 239 from 1988. For those unable to acquire the first appearance of Mr. Sinister, this is a fantastic consolation prize. Not only is it his second appearance, but his first cover and mention of Madeline Pryor as the Goblin Queen. We won't spoil it here for those who aren't currently caught up with X-Men 97, but we will say she plays quite an important role. 40 copies on the secondary market. $250 for CGC 9.8, $30 for Near Mints. X-Men 24, Andy Kubert hit fans in the fields when creating this cover. playing on the fan base's emotions. Since the 90s, Rogue and Gambit have been two peas in a pod, the yellow to the mellow, blah, blah, blah. The point is people love seeing the characters together. Of course, Magneto is currently messing that up in X-Men 97, and some fans are mad. They are making a stand and buying up covers of this iconic cover across the market. 27 copies, $20 for very fine Rawls. You can get it for maybe 16. What if 37? Shalabal is causing a stir in the community. She bears the distinction of being the Silver Surfer in the upcoming Fantastic Four. Silver Surfer is a herald of Galactus, a universal threat for which fans have been dying for. Her key titles are flying off digital shelves, including this book, where Shalabal is introduced as Starglow, the herald of Galactus. 44 copies, $35 for near mint, 19 being the fair market value. Of course, all this talk of Silver Surfer, issue 6, I'm sorry, number 6 on our list, Silver Surfer 1 from 1968. We got some casting news of the upcoming Fantastic Four, specifically the Silver Surfer, that caused prevalent Silver Surfer keys to surge, including the title featured as his origin and first origin. It also features the now coveted first appearance of Shalabal, who was recently cast as Silver Surfer in the MCU. 28 copies, $505 for a CGC 4.5, Drew.
Wow.
And $612 for floppy. We've talked a little bit about Geiger and the 80-page giant that came out a couple years ago. So far, the three new characters introduced in Ghost Machine number 1 have been seeing some aftermarket love, specifically Redcoat, who first appeared in this book. He's a quirky immortal and appears to be a broad collector base. That caused collectors to seek out his first appearance in this title now that he has his series. And cover A is currently the cheaper option to acquire, tracking just 11 copies, but a high of $40 for Rawl, settling to about 32. At rank 8, Super Villain Team Up 5 from 1976. This book was trending for no friggin' reason. Now light has been shed, and that's why things are being revealed. Marvel has been teasing the new Moon Knight's identity after Mark Spector's death, Drew. Did you know that?
No.
And we finally know who that is. We saw in the solicit they were talking about death of Moon Knight. That's right. I'm not going to read this. We're just going to skip this for Drew. 26 copies, $34 for very fine, said Ling. No, near mint's 92, very fine's 34. So this old 1976 book's a good one. I don't know if you got that one laying around somewhere. And our big trend, we've talked a lot about these Ultimate books, and Ultimate Black Panther is continuing on this list, still in the top 10. Ultimate Killmonger and Ultimate Storm, of course, big characters in the Black Panther mythos. 26 copies continuing to sell. CGC 9.8, $87, $37 for floppy. And the other Geiger 80-page giant with the Brian Hitch cover, we saw that one move 8 copies in the secondary market. That one, high sale of $45 on that.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. You said the Shroud, right? The new Moon Knight?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that was what I was saying. Yeah.
Yeah. He's the old West Coast Avengers guy. Yeah.
Yep.
I wasn't impressed with that reveal.
Gotcha. Just wasn't sure.
Rank 11, we have another Geiger regular cover number 1. Sold 17 copies, high sale of $60 for a CGC 9.8. Boy, that's not worth sending in. The DNA Agents, number 24, we talked about that earlier, sold 8 copies with a high sale of $101 for a very fine raw copy. At rank 13, we have the Uncanny X-Men 244, selling 27 copies. With a high sale of $32 for a raw and near mints closer to $35. Rank 14, our old buddy Spawn number 1 sold another 41 copies with a high sale of $40 for a raw. At rank 15, we have the Uncanny X-Men 266, which sold 23 copies. And was a high sell of $685 for the CGC 9.8. Rawls around $138. That's first Gambit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Rank 16, we have Batman. Kind of. Yeah, kind of, right? How Killing Joke sold 10 copies. That's crazy. And why? Christopher Nolan says The Killing Joke was the influence for the film version of The Joker in The Dark Knight. Okay. This perfect CGC 10.0 copy sold at Heritage Auctions for a monumental $28,800.
Dang.
10 copies of this sold with Rawls around $82.
I have like a sixth print of this.
Yeah, I think I have got a couple of third or fourth or something like that. Wolverine number 8 sold 16 copies with a high sale of $380 for a CGC 9.8. Near Mint's going for around $95. At rank 18, we have the first Dazzler, Dazzler number 1, which sold 12 copies, continuing to sell, not the hundreds of copies it was selling earlier during Swift Mania. Those 12 copies sold for about $20 for very fine Raws, which ain't too shabby. At rank 19, we have Fantastic Four, volume 1, number 49. 14 units of this one sold, and this is Galactus's first appearance, is that right? Or is this a Silver Surfer's first appearance?
One of those.
And this sold for $20,400 for a CGC 9.6. A fine Raw sold for $726. Man, condition is king, folks.
Yeah.
Rank 20, rounding out our list. The Uncanny X-Men 282 with Bishop. That's supposed to be the first Bishop. It's his first appearance. 29 copies of this one sold. High sale of $35 for a CGC 9. $35 for a CGC 8.5? That's got to be a typo, right?
Well,
it has to be.
Yeah.
At least what has to be at least $135 for a CGC 8.5, I would hope. Yeah. Near mint's around 15, maybe not. But if you sent your CGC in and you got, well, I guess it is only an 8.5. Yeah, your 8.5, you lost some money on that.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, that's it for comics heating up.
All right, Drew, we've looked at the things on the secondary market list, but boy, we would like to see what's coming in the next week. So I'm heading over to our good friends at Lunar Distributions. I am looking at new releases for the 16th, and boy, I like that. Batman Offworld number 4, Leslie LaRue Lee cover. It's very, very cool. Superman World's Finest. Oh, into some more Catwoman covers for Catwoman 64. And Hyuk Lee with a really neat cover there with some adorable cats. Derek Chu doing his normal thing.
Jim Lee makes an appearance.
Yeah, Jim Lee Spotlight cardstock.
Those are some serious ears he's got on that Batman.
And we do not apologize for the ears.
Crisis on Infinite Earths, number 1, facsimile.
Mm-hmm. Green Lantern War Journal, J. Garrick the Flash 6.
Hellblazer gets its fourth issue. I'm sorry, John Constantine Hellblazer, Dead America. It's not really Hellblazer.
Nightwing 113. Love that Bruno Redondo cover. That is awesome. I am creeped out by the Jamal Campbell cover. I am slightly turned on by the Nightwing 113 Serge Acuna 300 variant.
Oh, my goodness.
And I'm going to have to deal with that at some point in time. So this is Legacy 300.
And it's all fours.
Yeah, for my boy Nightwing.
Oh.
Yeah.
Legacy 300. Very cool.
Note to self, get off of that cover D, Kyle. You've got a podcast to do.
Like, congratulations, Nightwing.
Yeah.
On the night that we did 900 episodes. Congratulations on your sweet little 300 that you've achieved. That's cute.
It's adorable, yes.
Call us
Superman. When you get close. 13 cover B, Lee Bermejo with a nice little cardstock. I don't know why I said little cardstock. It's a beautiful cover. Oh, we got April Fool's covers? What? Why do we have April Fool's covers halfway through? Never mind.
comics, that's why.
Yeah, reasons.
That's a neat one, though. Monkeys. You love your monkey covers.
I do love my monkey. Wonder Woman 8, cover B, Julian Totino Tedesco cardstock cover with the gold-plated flying Wonder Woman. That's pretty wicked. And a stark transition from the Daniel Sampier cover A, which I also really like.
Yeah. And on the 17th, we have Cobra Commander's fourth issue of five. So it's wrapping up.
Good cover.
Not as good as Duke. There's the Free Comic Book Day Energon Universe Special, which has got some new stuff in it. Track that down.
Love that Energon Universe. Kill Your Darlings 8.
Really Hack nice slash back to segment. School finishes up finally.
Moon Man 2. That's the Kyle Higgins, Scott Cuddy book, or Kid Cuddy book.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Sam and Twitch Case Files, number 2. I enjoyed the first issue. I hadn't read any Sam Spawn, and Twitch for a long time. You're not
much in the Spawnverse.
No, but I like crime books, so
yeah, that's very good. This works.
It checks a box for me.
And just a reminder that Something Epic number 9 cover D is a Limp Bizkit album cover variant. Just FYI.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Tuskers number 3. A group of conservationists must save endangered African elephants from poachers. Comics experience book.
You and I hits 3 of 6. Walking Dead hits 8 of 7.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, some neat covers for Walking Dead.
Yes.
Over to our Boom titles.
We get the third issue of Animal Pound, and I don't remember reading the second, so I'm going to check that out.
A big boom on the aftermarket. I Heart Skull Crushers, the second issue here from Boom. From Josie Campbell. That book did very well in the first one.
Yeah. Wonder why.
Apparently a really good story and very good character. Who knew?
Who knew? Right. Zach Avengers. Thompson. Yep. Go ahead. Zach Thompson and Nicola Izzo with Annie Wu are doing Blow Away, number 1, about a wildlife photographer isolated in a remote cold of Baffin Island. So that's interesting.
Noir crime, Drew. Noir crime.
Yeah, yeah.
I really like the cover for Avengers Twilight number 5, the Ben Sue Lightning Bolt variant with our boy Hawkeye on it.
Yeah, that's a great one. And by the way, Avengers Twilight's really good. I read the previous 4 issues in like 2 nights, and I really, really liked it. It's like, just like an Elseworlds type of
Mm-hmm. It's very much featuring a female Hawkeye, and then of course we have Hawkeye and Black Widow here, so it's neat to have two Hawkeye books in there.
Yeah, yeah. And I think you'd like the Avengers Twilight. You like the old man Hawkeye stuff, right? And the 100%. Old man, whatever, old man series. You'd like Avengers Twilight.
Yeah. And of course, Black Widow and Hawkeye too. We are getting that Window Shades cover that we were waiting with bated breath for.
Thank goodness.
Yeah.
I can complete my collection.
Fall of the House of X. E.M. Gist with a cool Emma Frost cover.
Some great giant size Hulk number one covers. I love the head covers on David Bardin's doing. Roxxon presents Thor. Those look pretty good. Who's doing the writing on that?
Al Ewing. Spectacular Spider-Men number one, going to a second print and having a 25 copy incentive from David Marquez.
Always a good buy.
Yeah, definitely. Spider-Boy on issue 6. Interesting Ben Sue Vampire cover for Spider-Boy 6.
Ultimate Spider-Man 2 gets a third printing with a Peach Momoko cover.
Ultimate Black Panther 2 getting a second print. Ultimate Black Panther 3 with another Boss Logic cover, and boy, they're so good.
Yeah.
Weapon X 1 getting a second print.
Nothing in Dynamite.
Shocker.
Yeah. I'm almost dead. Is that a... It's not a Game Boy, is it? Something else.
It's just one of those little... That's a digital recorder.
Gotcha.
Assassin's Creed The Fall. Could be interesting, but $10, man. Okay, it's a one shot. All right, it's an 80-page one shot. All right, I'll shut up.
What do you think? There's a legacy number? Anniversary edition? Dudley Datsun. Number one, this is from Dark Horse. What is Dudley Datsun? Who is Dudley Datsun? It's not a Scott Snyder, Jamal Igel book. So that's a good pairing. This is a sci-fi about a boy, his dog, and a machine that controls time and space.
Darkstalkers Jeddah, number one. From Udon Entertainment Incorporated, our boy Tim Seeley with Alberto Albuquerque doing that book. A very
Love Me a Romance Story, number one, from Mad Cave, Francisco Perilla and Stefano Cardoselli. I love the concept. Robots like JoJo have taken over the tasks humans no longer want to perform.
That's how it starts, Drew.
That's what I want, man. I'll hand over the keys. Take care of it.
Man's Best, number one, from Boom by our good friend Porn Sack Pinochet, going to a second print.
Read a lot of animal books lately.
Anthropomorphic is the way to go.
Yeah, it seems to be. Right in my alley, I guess. Mike Myers is a big fan of the Penthouse comics.
A lot of good writing in those.
He seems to be raving about them. Mm. So they're really great anthologies.
TMNT Untold Destiny of the Foot. All right, Drew, we've looked at a lot of books here, including Zuriel number one from Concrete Comics. That's an interesting one. But only one book can be your pick of the week, Drew. What is the one book to make sure you head to your local comic book shop and pick up, because it's going to be good?
Hmm. Oh, man. I like a couple of these.
Mm-hmm.
Trust Scott Snyder again. It's another one of those comiXologies first. So I think I'm probably going to go with the Love Me a Romance Story Mad Cave book. I'll go with that one. It's a little more original. First time it's in print. Yeah, I'm going to go with that one.
Kyle's going chalk, baby. Nightwing Legacy 300, issue 113.
Makes a lot of sense.
My heart says either the cover A or B. B is Dan Mora. Some other part of my body is a big fan of the cover D. We're going to go with the transit, just the standard cover A. Nightwing 113 Legacy.
Cover A. Yeah, you got to go with the cover A. That's the film strip cover.
Yep.
Yeah.
But I mean, Dan Mora is one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's only $4.99.
Yeah, I can buy regular price for that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you, DC.
Yes.
And thank you guys for tagging along with Drew and myself as we head through our sneak peek at next week, as we head over the hump of 900 and we mad dash to that 1K. And we couldn't do any of this without you. We appreciate you guys for listening, appreciate you for being with us, and appreciate you for heading over to patreon.com, finding comics for fun and profit, throwing a couple bucks our way, and getting all of our exclusives if we feel like doing some recordings when I finish Fallout or X-Men 97 and just kind of ranting and raving about those. And you guys will be the first to hear those opinions. We thank you so much. And for Drew and for myself, see you.
Check out beacons.ai/comicsfunprofit for all the C4 FAP links you could ever need, all in one place. You can provide feedback, listen, support, share, enjoy these. We have our Patreon there. You can buy us a beer or a coffee. You can check out our Instagrams, our Twitters, our Facebooks. Check out our YouTube page. You can email us. You can listen to our podcasts on Patreon, if you're a subscriber, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, on Podbean. We have Google Podcasts on there. We have an Amazon wish list. You want to buy Kyle and I something? Fine. You can do that here. We appreciate it. We have Kyle's RPG podcast listed on there, so you can check out his Dork Day Afternoon offerings. We have Cowabunga links, so you can check out the Cowabunga deep discount FOC and pre-order list. Get on that. That's RLCS, so you can check that out as well. And we want to just give you opportunities to say hi, to check out what we're doing, support us if you would like, or just listen. Check out beacons.ai/comicsfunprofit for all the C4 FAP links you could ever need.